Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome and thank you for listening. This is the show where I talk to fellow actors about their journey in acting, where they are now, what they have coming up, and most importantly, some fun audition stories. I don't have a lot to say at the top of the show today, except for the fact that I am still reading the Grisha Verse books. I'm on the second in the Six of Crows books. And then I'm also still reading the Pink Carnation series, which is fantastic and I love it. And I'm currently on the Christmas book with Turnip. And if you've read it, you know how absolutely wonderful it is and delightful. It's great. Today on the show, we talk with someone I was so stoked to meet. That is Greg Daniel. Greg, you know best from True Blood, where he played Reverend Daniels. As someone who was obsessed with that show as a teenager, my face didn't stop smiling through this entire interview. You also know him from Insecure, I'm Not Okay With This, Alexa and Katie, Spider-Man 3, Evan Almighty, literally everything. The man has been working for so many years as an actor. He is an inspiration to us all. He has a new film called Seventh and Union we're going to talk about a little bit. And this was a really, really inspiring conversation. So if you have been feeling a little down, this is the conversation you need to hear. So here's my talk with Greg Daniel. Welcome to the show, Mr. Greg Daniel.
Hi. Hi, nice to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Like I say, I'm getting around more now. My wife and I are getting out because of the restrictions being lifted. I tell you, I won't take things for granted anymore. There are things I've learned that I just won't take for granted anymore because they feel special now and I want them to remain special. So it's almost like a little check of, okay, let's go to a reality check. Don't sweat the small stuff. Stay with the things that are important and always make time for them. Make time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's, you know, I talked about that a couple of years ago when I was talking to some interviewer. They were asking me about the typical female question, why I wasn't married. And I was like, you know, it's just one, not for me right now at this point in my life, but also like, you know, it's difficult as an actor to balance your personal life and your acting life.
Yes.
It's an incredibly difficult task, especially with someone like you. You've worked your entire life acting and you've done hundreds of things. I mean, it must be difficult to
schedule is always tough because it's so mercurial. I mean, I could be doing nothing for one day.
Right, right.
Day or so, I'm supposed to be in Utah to shoot something. I mean, knock on wood. I'm not complaining. But suddenly your schedule's thrown upside down. Suddenly it's like, oh, God, we were supposed to leave for Santa Barbara on Saturday, but now I have to fly to Atlanta because I'm going to shoot this thing for the next 10 days. And your schedule's an uproar. Luckily, my wife is an actress as well. We've been married 25 years. So there's an understanding there because she goes through the same thing that I go through. But we always want, the one thing I learned during the pandemic, among many things, was always to make room for family life. Because my daughter was eating, we were having dinner together again as a family when it was really bad, March, April, May, you know, we were really inside. We made dinner at home every night. And we all eat at different times. Everyone's all over the place, all over the house. To sit down as a family, and this is not, listen, to sit down as a family and be able to have dinner together was really special. So I do have a little bit of insulation in that my wife is also an actress, and she understands the sudden nature of change. I mean, we still go, ah, and still do, ah. But we also, you know, we're blessed that we are working, that we do have our jobs to go to, a great TV show, a feature, whatever to go. Last year, I'm not jumping the gun, but I shot a movie, which I'll speak about later, but nothing was shooting. We were the first movie, and we'll mention that later, that got the go-ahead from SAG to go ahead and shoot. I mean, we had protocols and procedures we had to follow, of course, but we were one of the first to actually go in front of a camera again, not 6 feet distance, taking off masks. So it was, you know, and I thank God for that. I had a great time, and now the movie's about to come out. But, you know, work is a blessing for any artists, dancer, actor, musician. It's just any work is a blessing. To be able to apply your craft and what you love to do, it's a blessing.
It really is. And, you know, it's so funny that your wife is also an actress. I feel like it's hard to have a healthy relationship with somebody who also has the same creative role as you because there can be that competition. My best friend and I were just talking about this. She's a theater actress, and it's hard to think of going into a relationship with a fellow actor because of those, because you don't want that competition getting into your head or messing with the relationship. So it's always so nice to meet someone who has been able to have a successful relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, also what's the thing is you're going to be attracted to people in the arts because naturally you're an artist. So you say, oh my God, no, I don't want to be with that musician or that another actor. Oh my goodness. Another dancer. At the same time, they're in the same world as you are. So
they're really the only people who understand.
That's right. You have a simpatico right off the bat because you understand what you go through to do what you do and to do it well. So at the same time, but she's a terrific lady, a terrific actress. We've made it work for 25 years now.
Wow.
Our daughter just graduated yesterday from, she's at USC.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So listen, there's a lot to be thankful for, Jillian, a lot to be thankful for having this relationship. Because as an actor, you also need to have, I think you need to have someone who's in your corner. I really 100%. Do. There's so much ups, so many ups and downs in casting and everything. It's that you need the stability of someone who's just in your corner, nurturing you, saying, it's okay, baby, you know, next one's coming your way. I know. And then when the next one comes your way, to say, yeah, you got this one. So it's important. It's important to have someone in your corner. If you're going to be in the arts in particular, because it's so mercurial, it really have a good nurturing relationship. And you have to do the same as well. You have to also be ready to reciprocate and support them in their struggles, their triumphs and their failures. You have to do the same thing. That's kind of the give or take in any relationship, isn't it? It totally is.
Yeah. I just feel like the actors have it on like steroids or creatives on steroids because you're like constantly either very happy or very sad.
Yeah. But like I said, don't sweat the small stuff. Just know if you're going to be in this business for as long as I have, know that you'll win some and you'll lose some. You just have to accept there's going to be some that you win and there'll be some that you lose. So, you know, so you learn after a while, you gain a history, and those times when it's not working, you say, okay, chill. This has happened before. I've been in this position before, and I'll move out of it. So experience helps because you know it's going to come around the bend again. For some reason, it might stop, but it'll come around the bend again. So I when I get down, I don't get so down because from experience, I know something's coming along. Just keep knocking it out of the park when you go into those auditions. Just keep giving them your best. Bring your A game, and it's gonna go your way sooner or later. It's going to go your way.
So tell me how you got started in this crazy industry. I mean, Like I said at the beginning, you've done everything. You were in my favorite, personal favorite show of all time, True Blood.
Oh, yeah.
That I read, I think I was like 15 when that show came out, and I was obsessed, and I read all of the books like immediately. I was so stoked about that show. But tell me how you got started, because you've had this incredible career, and it's so cool to talk to somebody who has been able to have that lasting longevity.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because that's the key word, longevity. It's not 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, but if you can have a career 30, 40 years, knock on wood, 30 or 40 years down the line, you can say, I'm still working as an actor. I'm still making my living. That's the blessing. It's not getting something right away. I'm from New Yorker. I was born and raised in New York. And my father was Caribbean. My mother was American. So my father's island that he came from, St. Vincent, was under British rule for the longest time. It's independent now. But one of the things they did have in the island was Shakespeare. Shakespeare was because he was the British writer, right? So Shakespeare volumes hanging around the house. We would have it. And I'd read, a precocious kid that I was, I would read them. And I actually fell in love with the language. I had no idea what it meant. No idea what some of it meant. There was something about reading. It was not like anything, especially verse, iambic pentameter. It was nothing I read like I read before. So I just fell in love with the musicality of the language. And by the time I actually saw a real play with a classical, I just knew this is what I wanted to do. I mean, the language, the costumes, the lighting, the world, the way these people move. But my first entry into acting was definitely language, hearing and appreciating the musicality that comes from language. So that's how I really started. And from there, I did go to school. I did study. I did get a degree in it. And then I started doing theater, mostly on the East Coast. I was doing theater like crazy. But that was great because every night was different. Every night, different kind of audience, different kind of plays. It really built up my muscles. So by the time I moved out here, there wasn't, not to brag, but there was nothing you could throw at me that I couldn't do. Seriously.
I love that.
There wasn't. I mean, whether it was a medical jargon in language, whether it was law, because you had already done language that is like Shakespeare. So by the time I got out here, I had my own process of working. I knew how best I worked. And there was no scripts that intimidated me. I really wasn't intimidated. And hopefully that confident experience is what started getting me work when I moved out here. But language was my first entryway into the business. My parents were definitely afraid when I started, because I was a good student, so they thought I'd be a doctor or a lawyer. Right. So when I declared I wanted to be an actor, they were like, come again? It was like, what? But I must say, and a credit to my parents, they never stopped me. They never went, no way, no how, you're going to go to law school and get the degree. No, how can, no. They never, I knew they were concerned about my being able to make a living, as all parents are. First thing I asked my daughter yesterday, so you're going to get a job? But at the same time, they knew how much I loved it. So they never tried to stop me in a way that you cannot do this. If anything, once I made the decision, they supported me in it. And I thank them from that, from the bottom of my heart, that they did that.
And it goes back to what we were talking about just a couple minutes ago. It's having that support system there. Absolutely. If that supports, especially for artists, like if that's not there for you, your life is going to be a heck of a lot harder.
You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need somebody who's going to, you know, really soothe you and bolster you and nurture you and you them. It really, it's a lot better to do it with someone, believe me. It is. Someone who understands. And then the triumphs are that much brighter. Your lulls are less because you have someone that's, oh, come on, let's go for a drink. Let's go out to dinner. Let's do this. Let's do that. I know you didn't get that one, but don't worry about it. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Come on with me. So, yeah, I think that support system, that foundation of having a nurturing relationship that I've been lucky enough to have for the last 25 years has helped me in this business immeasurably.
So you moved out to L.A. after doing some theater back in New York.
Lots of theater.
Did you go to college in New York as well?
Yes, I did. I went to NYU, New York University, School of Arts, and that really got me prepared. That was a conservative program. So, I mean, we ate, breathed, and lived acting every day from 9 to, I mean, we just, everything you could think of, verse, fencing, circus, voice, it was a conservatory program. So it was really new. But that also made me realize that acting is a craft. It really is a technique to it. I mean, listen, there'll always be celebrities, people who just, that's who they are. That, you know, we love them because that's who they are. Thank God. But, you know, a lot of actors have trained. They put time, they put years into, whether it's for a bachelor or a master's or a certificate or what have you, or it's going to a private studio. They put time in. They put time in. Mm-hmm. So I've been years studying and learning act, because I, one thing it gave me was versatility. I could do practically anything because I really trained hard to pick up a script, understand what's going on, what's this key, what's the operative words, where's the stress, where's the this, where's the that. It's all the stuff you don't actually think of anymore, but it's in me. I don't have to think, okay, I need to sit here and pick out and choose. But because of the experience, it's just there. So one of the things I have advice for anyone who wants to act is train. It's not just violinists just don't pick up a violin and start playing. Dancers just don't put on a tutu or tights and jump and do Nutcracker. They spend endless hours training their bodies, training their minds, training their voices. It does. And so that really helped because after that many years, 4 years of studying, in year one, you would know if it's not for you. And we had people who just decided, you know, this is cute. Because it was a relentless every day. You know, we trained and trained. It was fun.
Well, I think it's important, too, that, you know, people understand that it's because it is a craft, you are consistently training. It's not like I'm going to go to one class one time at the start of my career and that's it. You go like all the time. I'm back in class right now because I know that I want to work my muscle. Excellent. I know that I need to work my muscle because that's what you have to do when it's a craft. You wouldn't just stop dancing and 5 years later try to do it professionally again.
That's right. And it will desert you. I mean, you will be like, the muscles will forget. They'll atrophy. Yeah. They'll forget. Just the mind doesn't suddenly, the sharpness that you have, it will go away. That's the thing about the body. Once the body's at rest, it goes. We don't retain flexibility. As you know, if you're not doing yoga or Pilates every day, stay away from 6 months and then try and go back and do it.
Your body's hurts.
Yeah, because you didn't do it consistently. Even if it's a little bit every day, not a marathon like, but a little bit every day. But stay away from it for 6 months to a year and then go back and do some of those techniques. And you'll find out. Same thing when you have a talent. If you don't consistently work at it, it's going to sort of get flaccid. It's going to get a little tepid. It's not going to be as sharp. And boy, for the competition that's out here or in the business period, you've got to be sharp. There's some really fun.
Be super sharp.
Right, you got to be sharp. So when you go into the room to audition, you know, you're bringing them your A game. But you got to stay sharp. It's not like, you know, I haven't done it for a while. I took one class. Your example, I took one class in 1 month and then you go to audition. I guarantee you, you're going to be so lost. You know, you're not going to feel centered. It's going to be really weird. So I say train. And as you were saying, you never stop training. You never stop. With every new feature or television show, whatever I do, I'm always learning. Always learning something. That's part of the fun of it too. Stretching myself in ways I didn't know I still could. I didn't know that. I didn't know. The movie that I did, which we'll talk about, is a boxing movie. So I'm not a boxer, or I play an ex-boxer, but we had a trainer that trained the other gentleman I was with, the other lead in the film, and man, just watching how hard he trained and what it gave me a whole new perspective about boxing. I've always liked boxing, but I never understood where the punch comes from and turning the hip and put the I'm like, wow, what a treat to be able to learn something new every day.
Yeah, I feel like that's why actors are so knowledgeable about so many things constantly, because we're training ourselves in several different areas all the time, learning about new things all the time for these roles and these films that we take, or theater, you know, shows, everything that we do, we're training. And it's I think important as an actor especially to want to be a learner.
Absolutely.
I think if you're not a learner, if you don't like reading, if you don't like having knowledge about random things, then you're not going to be a very good actor, because you need to have that thirst.
Actors soak things. Speaking of thirst, actors soak things up all the time. I mean, you can be walking in the park and observing people's behavior. That couple, that business, single guy, or it's, you know, you have to be in the state of readiness to take in stimuli all the time. It can come from reading, it can come from watching, but you really, we're like sponges. We're like sponges. Mm-hmm. We absorb all this stuff and keep it inside until there might be a role or a project that, oh, I could use that. It's something, an idea comes from, oh, when I was in that park last week and I saw this, and suddenly your creative imagination is sparked because you're soaking it. You should be soaking it all. If you're not, we're going to have a very small range. Your palette is going to be very small. It's not going to, you want it to be as large as it can possibly be, but if you don't read, if you don't observe, if you're not soaking in, it's going to be about this big. And everything you do, it's going to be about this big. So you are so right, Jillian. We got to soak it all up. And as performers, as theater people, as actors, we do. We soak it all up.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now, you've worked on some amazing shows that have come out recently. I'm Not Okay With This, Insecure, Alexa and Katie. Yeah. And I know this is a broad question, and it's one that is always difficult for me. But what was the most fun that you've had on a TV series or a film for you, character-wise? Doesn't necessarily have to be the set. But character-wise, what was the most fun creating?
It probably was True Blood. Had to be True Blood because the world was so outrageous. I mean, we had vampires and werewolves and Maynards, and the world was you come to work every day and see blood, well, fake blood on the floor and have fangs. I mean, it's like being at a Halloween party continuously. And then this character, Reverend Daniels, that I played, you know, he was the normal guy. He was the minister in town that was trying to bring the factions together, you know, the undead and the living people. So just from my perspective, it was so stimulating. Plus Alan Ball, who did 60
incredible.
Created such a ride. Started out as a playwright.
Yep.
Ball is just what an imagination. The writers on that show were, you know, they were just so special in terms of their craft, in terms of what they were doing. So to come in every day and watch, how do you move as a vampire? How do you move as werewolves and just see transformation? The set was outrageous. I mean, the set.
It was so fun.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, because it stretched my imagination to the point where, well, I still need to be centered and real in this, though the world around me was like a Halloween party. But it's still, how do you make your character real among these people who can disappear? I mean, we have kinds of supernatural things happening. So that's what made it a large amount of fun, just that the imagination behind this series and getting to go in and play and find myself centered in that world was so much fun. Now, everything else I love. I think I Am Not Okay With This was just a gas as well. Those young...
Fantastic show.
Yeah, much younger cast members, but just, again, a fantastic show in a strange world that was not quite normal in reality. But then I was a high school principal that I hated the kids. The kids were always doing something straight. But, you know, to find yourself in that world and center yourself in that world. And of course, I can't say this much because we haven't started a new season, but Insecure is, it's just, what a great show. What a great show.
I mean, a great show, a great cast, a great creative team. Yeah. It's one of the most amazing shows on television right now. It's a standout. And I think it's going to go down in history as one of the top shows.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it ushered something new in, you know, to look at these Black women and how they negotiated the world, their lives, their friends, how their parents, how do you, as a BIPOC individual, living in the world, how do you rate to other races, and how do you rate to your job? It was just really refreshing. And again, good writing, good directing, terrific acting. So again, just those three, I've been blessed just to work on those shows and see other people's talent, because that inspires me when I see that.
Right.
Wow, she's good. Oh my goodness. Hope I get to play a scene with her, or he's giving me so much. We gotta step it up.
I gotta do more. I gotta be better. And that's what's so fun about acting, is when you get to work with somebody who gives you so much and you're just like, oh man, I can really sink my teeth in. Yeah. I can go for this.
That's right. That's right. And the better the acting, the more you want to get in there and give them just as much back. You want to match them. So you two, not just one, but the two of you or the three of you, how many in the scene are creating something together, because you're just so open and available and giving back and forth. So it's really special. I mean, acting is really special when you get people who are that good and can bring that much to the table. It makes your game and your work just shine so much as well.
So, Greg, on this show, we like to share audition stories. those can be, you know, the one that got away. It could be bad auditions. I've heard some pretty remarkably hysterical auditions that would make me cringe. Yeah. But we've heard some great funny stories and ones with great endings as well. Do you have a story that you would like to share with us?
It's not a long story, but I remember once I was up for, what was it that, it's funny because the best auditions for me are the ones that I feel when I walk out, I go, wow, that was amazing. Something happened in the audition. But I remember once I was offered a role in the show and I was the wrong person. they contacted me. I went in a couple of times. It came down to like three of us or something. It was a network show. And we got the call. Okay, we got the call. I don't know who it was. I don't know what producer or what aide or what production assistant. I don't know who it was, but they contacted me prematurely because I was not the choice. I see your poor face is like, no! Yeah, walking that one back was a little, Well, Greg, sit down. What do you mean? What are you saying? No, I got a call. They said that, no, what had happened? Yeah, that was and then there was some I've walked away from. I knew I didn't get because it just didn't click for me in the audition. And not by the time I get to my car, I get a call saying, "We want you. We want to, Greg. They want to book you." What? They want to book you? Greg Daniel, right?
Let's make sure it's the right name.
Greg Daniel, right? Yeah. They want to book you. So those are surprises. So that's like the agony and the ecstasy. Once being offered a show that I wasn't the one, and then being offered roles when I think that, okay, that wasn't my A game. Who knows what happened that day? So, well, whenever I went in, maybe I was distracted. Who knows what I was thinking? It didn't feel right. And I leave, and then suddenly, yes, they want to book it. And it takes me all this time to go, get out of here. Nah, come on. What are you talking about? Before I accept it, you know?
Right. So
that's been my experience with auditions.
I love that. I think, you know, I found with auditions that I'm like, you know, I'm probably not right for this. I'm just going to wing it, whatever. Like, I obviously spend the time working on the material.
Yes, of course.
But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I'm not the person for this. Yeah. Those are the ones that I book because I'm the least, like, nervous. That's when right. I do it.
You don't care. You say, oh, well, I'm just going to want the casting director to see my work. I'm just going to show them like, where I'm at. So you have no investment because you know you're not going to get it. So you have no investment. As you were saying, Julie, and you get it. So what is that thing that, you know, when we step back a little bit and don't, when we step back, we're actually more powerful than if we're just, you know, tension is always going to show you less. Being relaxed and comfortable, as I know it's an audition, but as comfortable and open as you can be, that's where you want to be. Because anything that's tight, if you tighten up, and you can see it now, your breath is shorter, your muscles are don't feel as well. But when you can just breathe through and have fun, I guess is what it is. So you don't have it on you because you don't think it's your type. And we all have different roles. We see that it's not my type. No, they would never book me for this one. I'll just go in for the practice and to be seen. And then you get it. What a business, huh? What a business.
It's a wild ride, that's for sure.
It's a wild ride. Enjoyable one, but boy, it's a wild. It's not for the faint of heart, Julie. Let me tell you, it's not. No, you got to want it more than anything. You got to want it more than anything. You really do.
So tell me about your most recent film. You briefly hinted at it earlier in the episode, but 7th and Union, it's coming out soon.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we're opening the Latin International LA, I always get these mixed up. The LA Latino International Film Festival on June 2nd will be at the TCL Theater. I used to call it Grove.
Oh, yeah.
We're opening with that. It's a wonderful film. Shot it last summer. 7th and Union stars Omar Chaparro, who is a real big, wonderful Mexican actor in Mexico. It was written by Oscar Torres and directed by Tony Nardillo. Really terrific stuff. It's a boxing film, but it's not really a boxing film. I play a down and out guy who used to box, who's now doing menial work. I let drugs and the high life kind of get away from me. I'm estranged from my daughter. He plays, Omar plays a Mexican boxer who had one fight too many. He got hurt pretty bad in the last fight. The doctor told him, you can never fight again. He moves to the States to give his wife and his son a better chance at life. But he winds up on the corner doing menial jobs, waiting to be construction jobs, waiting to be, you know, waiting to be used, not going anywhere. We come together, two unlikely guys. He's younger. He's Latinx. I'm older. I'm African-American. Two unlikely guys come together. I find out that he's been a boxer. And I could arrange this fight for him that would just give him the rest of his life much easier for their family. And so it's really a story about redemption, that these two men who seem like down and out and at the, you know, we're not going to go any further in life. This is about the best we're going to get. And somehow in each other, we find the strength to face our demons and go on. So it's a beautiful kind of buddy film. Boxing is there. The boxing sequences are wonderful. We had a boxing consultant, but boxing is just a backdrop to what I like to say is a tale of redemption of two men who find in each other somehow. They just find in each other the will to go on and try it one more time. Just try it one more time. Don't give up. Oh, look at your face.
I'm like, oh, this is so sweet. I'm going to need to watch
your face. I know, but that's why I took it, because I didn't need a boxing film. Oh, another one. But it was a relationship between the two men. It was just, wow, these guys. No one would put these two guys together. I mean, they come from different worlds, even though they're experiencing crisis. They come from different worlds, but you never know who's going to be the person that relates to you in a way that, you know how sometimes it's easy to talk to strangers than it is your own family or friends?
Yeah.
It's just easy to talk to strangers. Somehow we start confiding in each other and find out that there's a way that we might be able to redeem ourselves and actually get ahead in life, even at this point in life. So
I'm so excited to see this.
We open the festival June 2nd. I'm dying to see what it's like, but it's just a good film to boxing. You'll love, but I think you'll be touched by how these guys how these two men come to know each other and support each other. Yeah.
I love that. I think there needs to be more films that are like that are based in this relationship with someone that you aren't expecting. Because I feel like, I mean, that really is all of life, right? It's somehow you create these relationships with people that you didn't know from Adam a couple weeks ago. And then all of a sudden they're your best friend. And 5 years happens and you're like, holy Lord, how have I known you this long?
Isn't life funny that way?
It's just so wild. And it's just, I love that this film has used an activity like boxing to put this relationship in the forefront.
And that's a great way to put it. This film just uses boxing just as a background and put the guy's relationship. That's exactly what the film does. Exactly what it does. And I agree with you. It's so touching to see how these men who are broken, hurt, they're not just body-wise, but also emotionally, psychologically, they've been beat down. And yet in each other, they find they find the strength, they find the trust to just try it one more time. Just try it one more time. So, because, you know, those are the stories we really kind of want. We cheer for those people.
Right. You want the underdog to win. You want a second chance. You want to be able to say, I did it.
And everyone understands that. People understand second chances, giving someone a second chance. You know, no murderers, just people who are, you know, life might have got by them, or they may want to. One flaw that suddenly everything began unraveling. But can we have a second chance at it now that we're, can we get one, just one more chance? And that's the beauty of this film, Seventh and Union. Yeah. And we shot it down Los Angeles and
I look forward to seeing it.
Lillian, thank you.
Before we go, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Just be safe. I mean, now that things are opening up again, it's wonderful, but so maybe think of your life in a different way. I'm not a psych or therapist. I'm just saying, though, there are things we came to appreciate, I'm sure everyone did during the pandemic. So carry that with you as we begin to get back to some kind of normalcy. And I say that very carefully. Just begin, if it's calling a friend, writing somebody that you didn't. I was rekindling relationships with people I had no beef with, but I just fell out of touch because that's the way life was. Life gets so busy and, oh, I didn't call Jerry and... just take the time. The world's not going to stop turning if you take the time to acknowledge other people. So one thing, if we've come out of this, and it's been terrible, it's been horrible and heart death and heartbreak, but just appreciate people, appreciate your relationships, because you just don't, who knew a whole year under a pandemic? Who knew? So that's what I learned. I'm actually reaching out much more. And sometimes all it takes is a phone call or a text or an email. Suddenly they get back to me and we're chatting like we never missed a beat. So I'm like, well, wow, that's powerful stuff. What? Yeah, that's really good and powerful. I need to tune into that more. So I invite all of you in your relationships and your life to tune into taking the time to reaching out to friends, family, to helping those you don't even know, just to helping those you don't know. I think it's one of the great abilities we have in life to do.
I love that. And where can people follow you on social media to see what you're doing and where everything's going?
At Real Greg Daniel. At Real Greg Daniel. Yeah.
Perfect.
And then you can get me for anything, Twitter you can just get me at Real Greg Daniel.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Greg. It was so lovely to talk to you. I don't think I've smiled this much in a long time.
I looked in your face when I told you about what happened. You seemed so sympathetic when I didn't get the show. But thank you, Jillian. This was so easy to do. You're still a terrific hostess. You were just able to make it easier for me to talk and share things. I appreciate that very much. You guys make us look good because you care enough to hear what we have to say.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Greg. I can't wait to see Seventh and Union.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the luck in future projects.
Thank you. Stay healthy and keep working. Keep at what you love to do. That's the story.
Ah, what a gentleman. And what a great talk. Man, I love when I meet actors like I said, with his type of longevity, somebody who has made a full career out of acting and is just so smart and so knowledgeable and so insightful and ready to help others. It's really cool, and I loved talking to Greg. So thank you, Greg, for coming on the show. It truly was an honor. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next week, where I will speak to another actor about more acting things, as we do on this show. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. And hey, we post really fun IGTVs from these interviews every Friday exclusively on our Instagram. So tune in there and tell your friends about the show. Leave us some love in the reviews or some stars, because those are super helpful and we love those. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.